Saintcast number 93. You are tuned to the Saintcast. They yearn for holiness, intimacy with God. They have a humility of heart and love of their brethren. They persevere in prayer. They live lives of great charity and heroic virtue. They are the saints. Welcome to you, Paul Camerata, with another edition of the Saintcast, coming to you live, or semi-live, as it were, from the Overland Park, Kansas, or as we like to say, the OP, out here, where we bring the wonders of the lives of the saints into your earbuds on the Saintcast. Thanks again for tuning in. It's been a whirlwind few weeks for me, reacquainted with a number of saints at the Steubenville Catholic Media Conference. I saw a lot of saints up there, reacquainted with many saints this past weekend. My daughter's confirmation, Laura, has chosen the name Gemma Galgani, or Saint Gemma, as her confirmation saint. And I thank all of you for your prayers and messages on Twitter, your email messages. It's been a tremendous weekend, and I thank you all. Now, on today's Saintcast, I'm thrilled to bring you once again to the Crescent City for a visit, this time with the vice postulator of the cause for a very special saintly hero, the cause for sainthood of Blessed Francis Xavier Silos. We'll talk with Father Byron Miller, have some touching and incredibly reaffirming feedback that I want to mention to you. We've got a new Saint Jeopardy, but first, it is time to go over the saints in the news.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention?
I've got some good news for you and some potentially upsetting news. First, the good news.
Hey, kids. I heard on the news that an airline pilot spotted Santa's sled on his way in from New York.
Hey!
Well, maybe not that kind of news, but we've got some good saint news for you. This is pertaining to World Youth Day. Now, this from the Catholic News Service. Logistical details are being finalized, but it does appear certain that they are going to attempt to fly the body, the relics of Blessed Pier Giorgio Frassati, to Sydney, Australia, for veneration by young people at World Youth Day. Among Italian young people and a growing number of their peers throughout the world, Blessed Pier Giorgio Frassati, who died in 1925 at the age of 24, seen as a special young person patron because he combined his enjoyment of life and sports with strong faith, serious charity, and a commitment to social justice. There was a saint cast that we did on Blessed Pier Giorgio. Look back through the archives. I think I'll try and have a link to this on the show notes at saintcast.org. In a service combining prayer and church legal procedures, Blessed Pier Giorgio's tomb in the Cathedral of Turin was opened this past March, said Father Livio Di Marie, spokesman for the Archdiocese of Turin. Father Di Marie said the only thing the Archdiocese had to say was that the exhumation of the body was necessary so the Archdiocese could take steps to better preserve it. Everything was done in agreement with the family, he said. Father Niccolo Anselmi, who's the director of the youth office, told Catholic News Service that it is true that planning the transport is at an advanced stage. Wanda Gavronska, Blessed Pier Giorgio's niece, told the Catholic News Service she was certain that her uncle's remains would be a part of World Youth Day. How fabulous is that? The relics of Blessed Pier Giorgio Frassati flown to Sydney for World Youth Day for young people to venerate down there. I think that is going to be something fabulous and something to look forward to for all of you on your way to Sydney this coming summer. And you frequent listeners to the Saintcast will recognize that as our Saint Jeopardy theme. This is our Jeopardy quiz where we give away a free Saintcast t-shirt to the first in with the correct answer. Let's first go over the last Saint Jeopardy. The last Saint Jeopardy was regarding who was the first and only saint to have been canonized on Easter Sunday. Well, we had a number of correct answers for that. The first in, Wes Holcomb, and Wes answered correctly with the question, who is Don Bosco. Who is Don Bosco? That is correct. He was canonized, I believe, by Pio l'Undicesimo, Pio the 11th, and Wes wins a St. Cass t-shirt, and now for the new St. Jeopardy. Well, this is particularly topical and timely. The Feast of St. George is coming up. What famous person born on St. George's Day wrote this? O cunning enemy that to catch a saint with saints doth bait thy hook, most dangerous is that temptation that doth goad us on to sin in loving virtue. Get back to me at saintcast@sqpn.com. You can call in some audio feedback at the St. Cast feedback line, plus 1-312-235-2278, or simply go over to saintcast.org. Find the little blue box that says My Chingo, click on it, and your feedback will come right to my inbox in the terms of an audio feedback, a WAV file or an MP3 file. First in with the correct answer gets a St. Cast t-shirt.
Hey everybody, this is Steve Runner from Fidipidations, the podcast for runners at steverunner.com. And you're listening to the Saint Cast on the StarQuest Podcast Network. God bless, run long, and taper.
Spanning the globe to bring you the constant variety of saints.
Always seems like it ends a little abruptly there. Well, we are spanning the globe to bring you the constant variety of saints. And today we travel down to St. Louis to let you hear from Father Byron Miller, the postulator for the cause of Francis Xavier Silos. And you'll hear some excerpts from a movie, Silos, the Tireless Intercessor, that we were grateful to be able to use from Father Byron. So listen in as we talk about this holy man from New Orleans. Father Silos was a Redemptorist priest. Tell us a little about the Redemptorists.
The Redemptorists were founded in 1732 by St. Alphonsus Liguori, a doctor of the church, a moral theologian, a bishop, and a prolific author. There are about over 6,000 of us around the world. And in the 1800s, we came to this country in 1832, and shortly thereafter, Father Silos answered that call from Germany to come and be a missionary in the United States.
Tell us a little about Father Silos. He was a Bavarian, I guess, right?
Right. He was from the south of Germany and in a very Catholic area, Bavaria. He was born in Füssen.
He was the sixth of 12 children, born in this home, January 11th, 1819, to a weaver and his wife. Francis was baptized the same day in St. Mang's Parish Church, where his father later served as sacristan. Before coming to America, young Silos studied at the University of Munich, where he finally decided to enter the priesthood and the Redemptorist order. A superior student, he excelled in every subject and willingly tutored other students.
He was attracted to the saints and to a religious vocation early in life. His namesake, the Jesuit priest, Francis Xavier, had an appeal to him. He even considered the Jesuits, but the Redemptorist won his heart.
What I wanted to ask something about the Redemptorist. That's not the official name of the order, right? There is. Why don't you tell us that?
Yes, we're commonly known as the Redemptorist, but we are officially the Congregation of the Most Holy Redeemer. And St. Alphonsus was a giant in his day, an Italian, Neapolitan by birth, and he founded the Redemptorist to reach out to the poor and the most abandoned, and that we are most Redemptorist when we do that. In St. Alphonsus' day, most of the Redemptorists were all in Italy, and at a point in our history, we crossed over the Alps and we expanded into other parts of Europe, mostly Austria and Germany, and it was from that area of Redemptorist presence that they came over to the United States.
So, Father Silos, what were his heroic virtues that resulted in him being beatified?
Right. He exuded a great personality and spirituality. And I think that those trademarks can be sensed even when the holy person is in heaven. And so the same kind of people who were attracted to Silos in his life, we find generations now, people who are still drawn to him. He had a wonderful personality. He loved to laugh, and he had a great cheerful nature about him. He was very gregarious. But because of his holiness, people sensed that immediately, and he had a reputation, even while he was alive, where people would seek out his prayers for healing.
Silos possessed a naturally happy disposition.
So he was a dedicated person, but he was very happy. You see, a lot of people think if you want to be holy, you know, you have to be kind of sad and long-faced, and he gives the lie to that. He was extremely happy. He was telling jokes. He loved jokes. He loved to play little tricks on people. He was kind of a person that you could meet every day and say, this is a good person to know.
While prefect of students in Cumberland, Maryland, Silos even joined a laughing society organized by the seminarians.
He was a member of their laughing society where they liked to tell jokes, and it was a good joke. There was a strong laugh. If it was a bad joke, there was a grunt, and he basically got booted out for laughing too hard. Imagine that, a priest who laughs too hard.
However, Silos' joy was more profound. It was not just a natural joy, but clearly he had found a transom into supernatural joy, the actual joy of the Lord. It was this joy that he generously shared and was so commented on by all those he encountered.
And tell us a little about his life here in America. I understand he actually worked with another saint, American saint.
Yes, that's right. You did your homework, I tell you. That's true. He and St. John Newman, Bishop John Newman, still to date, the only American bishop who has been canonized a saint. John Newman was canonized in 1977. And Silos and Newman were stationed together in Pittsburgh for a few years. And at the time, Silos was newly ordained, and he considers John Newman his spiritual father. Newman took him under his wing, kind of helped him learn the ropes of giving missions. They were stationed together in a real leaking rectory, old rectory in Pittsburgh. So he learned a lot, and he had great admiration for the spirituality of St. John Newman.
And then after he left Pittsburgh, did he go somewhere else before he came here to New Orleans, or did he just come down here?
Right. He was stationed in a few places, Annapolis, Maryland, and Baltimore, Pittsburgh, Cumberland, Maryland, and then he went to Detroit, Michigan, before actually coming down to New Orleans. And he spent his last year of life here in New Orleans when he contracted yellow fever. There was an epidemic that broke out in September of 1867. And he caught it and died peacefully. But he, in that 1 year's time, he had made quite an impact, as he had done elsewhere. Already people knew of his holiness and of his great, tremendous work ethic. He would be, I would say, he was like the Mother Teresa of our day, in that he already had established a reputation for sanctity while he was alive. He didn't want to call attention to it, but it would precede him.
Why the special tie to New Orleans? How much time did he spend here?
With just a year, he made such an impact in the city. And it was really, I think when we'd look at the history of his cause, a lot of it is owed to, like I say, his whole lifetime. I mean, even as a novice, they were calling him a saint that young, 24 years old, whatever. But it was after he died here where the people really kept his memory alive. And they were so convinced of the sanctity of Father Silos, that much is owed to the people of New Orleans who kept that that progress going, in addition to the Redemptorists who, because they lived with him, knew of his own sanctity. So you know, it took both.
How old was he when he died, or how young was he?
He was only 48 years old.
Wow, that's my age now. Just so he was planning on coming here and ministering to the poor of the city when he moved here.
Very much. He basically, when he came down, he took a train from Chicago, and on that train there were two school sisters of Notre Dame that happened to be on the train with him coming to New Orleans. And in a casual conversation, they had asked what he was coming to New Orleans for, and he said, "I'll be there for a year, and then I'll die." And then he had told that to another Redemptorist in Chicago before he left. Did he really, you know, have some kind of a premonition that he was coming to New Orleans eventually to die. At that time, there were several epidemics that would break out in the city, very violent ones. And then we're talking right after the Civil War here in New Orleans. And so it was not the best time to come, but he was still willing. Maybe he knew. He came and basically in September of 1866, everything was fine. And then that epidemic that broke out a year later, he was ministering to someone. And then he felt ill. He came back home and he was bedridden for the rest of the last 2 weeks of his life.
In the month of September 1867, exhausted from visiting and caring for victims of the plague, Silos himself contracted the dreaded disease. After several weeks of patiently enduring his illness, the end of Father Silos' earthly ministry was nearing completion. While Silos was slipping away, Father John Duffy, a priest who was living in the rectory with Silos, hobbled to the bedside of his revered former novice master. Father Duffy had mangled his knee as a child and now had great difficulty walking due to the chronic pain. With Silos' life quickly slipping away, Father Duffy begged God through the merits of Father Silos to cure him. At once, the crippled priest stood up from Silos' bedside, completely cured from all pain and lameness. Soon after Father Duffy's miraculous cure, Silos died here in the rectory of St. Mary's on the evening of October 4th, 1867. He was 48. Father Francis Xavier Silos would be buried the next day, under the statue and watchful gaze of his Heavenly Mother, in St. Mary's Assumption Church. And according to a prophecy he made when he blessed that statue upon its arrival from Germany only months earlier, it was here that he would be buried.
I have made the rounds of all the houses of our province. Only New Orleans was remaining. I have come here to pass the rest of my days and find a lasting resting place in St. Mary's. I feel I have traveled enough. I shall never leave New Orleans. It is here that I will rest my bones.
When we talk about how someone becomes a saint, at least in the church, as so many times, I guess in our time, it's Mother Teresa. You know, she had a exuded sanctity, and everyone knew when she died, and John Paul, that this was truly a saint among us, and it was the same with Father Silos.
That is correct. They were able to identify that without any hesitation. In the short time that he was here, the city put out, I guess, morning and afternoon papers, and they were even keeping updates on his health condition. And when he died on Friday, October 4th, 1867, in the afternoon, about 5:45 in the afternoon, as the Angelus bells were chiming at the St. Mary's Assumption Church, word quickly spread that Father Silos had died to yellow fever, and they kept an all-night vigil in the church where people, this continuous line of people in the church touching handkerchiefs and holy cards and rosaries to Father Silos before he was buried the next morning.
That's amazing. The guy that was only here for a year. And were there episodes of healing or miracles or that accompanied him while he was alive that you know of?
Yes, in various places, little children who were, you know, close to death, mm-hmm. and Silos would pray with the family. One gentleman in the East Coast had come to the rectory and was on crutches, and he came in. He was convinced that Father Silos was going to heal him, and so he threw his crutches out of the window in the parlor there and said, "Father Silos, heal me." And of course, Silos, you know, said, "Well, you know, I can't do anything for you, but hold on." Mm-hmm. And he goes, he gets the Bible, he comes back into the parlor, he prays a scripture, and then he offers a prayer, and the man basically was able to walk out. Wow. And so, you know, you hear these things and you say, oh, this can't be true. But when they conducted the story and all the testimonials, many of these people were still alive. We're talking about 1902, 1900. That's when they officially began the cause of canonization for Silos. And so you had people who were still living and were able to swear under oath, right, what had they had experienced in their own lives. I should also mention, when you're asking a story about something that might typify Silos, mm-hmm. Silos actually had a visit with President Lincoln.
Really? Wow.
And it was during the Civil War, and at that time, of course, you know, you had to you were going to get drafted based on the Conscription Act that was passed by Congress. And the way that you could get out of it was to pay $300, and many people were doing that. Well, the Redemptorists had all these young seminarians, young priests and brothers, and there was no way that they could do it. And Silos was convinced that if the students were allowed to finish their studies, that they could serve better their country by being chaplains in the war. And he actually he was confident in that because he himself had offered his services to at Fort Monroe and to Camp Parole outside of Annapolis. And so he goes to see President Lincoln with another Redemptorist. They have a very gracious kind of reception. And Lincoln, being the true politician, doesn't promise him anything. But in the end, our students were not drafted, and we didn't have to pay the $300 exemption to get out.
Well, tell us more about Father Silos and his beatification. When did that happen? Is there a miracle that was testified to?
Yes, he was beatified in April 9th of the year 2000. He was the only North American who was beatified in the solemn Jubilee year. And the miracle that was needed to get Father Silos beatified happened actually in 1966, and it was a woman by the name of Angela Boudreaux who lived here in New Orleans area, and she was diagnosed. She was a woman, a mother in her 30s, and she was diagnosed with liver cancer and was given 2 weeks to live. And they sewed her up. They opened it. They saw the cancer in her liver. 90% of her organ was just all cancerous. So they sewed her back up, gave her 2 weeks to live. They predicted that it was probably a parent tumor elsewhere in her body or her brain. It gave her 2 weeks to live, and she came straight from that hospital to the Father Silos crypt where he was buried here in St. Mary's Assumption Church. She prayed as she was doing before that. She had her physician actually have a little memento of Father Silos when he cut her open, and then she was blessed with the Silos Mission Cross when she came from the hospital. Long story short, she doubled her lifespan. It wasn't her liver that did her in, and she lived to come to Rome for the beatification.
So tell me a little bit about the shrine here. I see there's a beautiful church right next door to where we're speaking.
Yes, St. Mary's Assumption Church is the oldest German Catholic church in the entire state of Louisiana, and it is very much like what Father Silos would have seen in his day. He was pastor here. Essentially, his title was prefect of the German-speaking church, where across the street we had one for the Irish and English-speaking, and yet we had a third one just down the block for the French and Creole. So we had three huge churches all within proximity. And Silos came down. He could speak all three languages, English and French and German. And he came down, and he was prefect of the German-speaking church, St. Mary's Assumption. And it's like a little step back into time. Very little has changed from the time that Silos was pastor here. It's a beautiful church. It was done in a real typical European style. It has been often said that this is the most European-looking church in all of New Orleans, which is often considered the most European city in the state.
Sure. So I guess as vice postulator, then you are in charge of his cause, and you have a website. Would you like to tell the listeners about that? And we'll have a link to it on the website of SaintCast.
Thank you. Yes, our official website is www.silos.org, S-E-E-L-O-S. And we would, since we revamped it all, I'd say we'd have 115 or so thousand hits. And there is a an actual guest book where people can go and write their prayers or prayer requests, and we do check it regularly here at the shrine, so anonymously they can leave their prayer intentions on that guest book. There's some prayers to asking Father Silos's powerful intercession that can be simply printed out that are printer friendly. So the website does give a nice historical and spiritual sketch of Father Silos. Mm-hmm.
And if someone wants to pray for Father Silos's intercession and has a miracle on the basis of that, they're, of course, obviously to let you know, right?
Please. That would do me a great favor by making my job easier. And then, as anything, the Vatican wants it all in writing. Yes. So we will get many people who, for good reason, are all thrilled at, let's say, some medical outcome that they just got or heard from their doctor, and then they want to relate the incident to us. And we do give praise to God with them and offer prayers of thanksgiving here at the shrine. But if they do feel that this is something that the Vatican would take seriously, it would all have to be compiled, and all of that paperwork would have to be saved as well.
Certainly. Well, thank you very much, Father. Father Byron, the Vice Postulator of the Cause and the Director of the Shrine here of Blessed Francis Xavier Silos. I really appreciate you talking to us.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for your interest.
And thank you so much, Father Byron, for coming on the SaintCast. I want to thank him especially for allowing me to use clips of the movie produced by John Clote from the Mercy Foundation, the movie Silos, Tireless Intercessor. Okay, for those of you who don't know, this is the email theme, the feedback theme, St. Anthony's Chorale. St. Anthony, of course, the patron of the mail. This is some touching feedback I received on Facebook recently. I wanted you all to hear. Mugwan Dr. Paul. I don't know if you remember me. After all, you have got thousands of listeners, but I'm a Roman Catholic missionary living in the Diocese of Montego Bay, Jamaica. I wanted to send you some news from the front lines here in Jamrock. For the last few months, myself and my missionary brother John have been leading a youth group in a small parish up in the mountains. It has an attendance of approximately 15 youths who have a desire to deepen their faith, have fun, and learn how to live a more Christian life within a society that rejects so many of the values of truth. It's quite a beautiful addition to our normal pastoral ministry. With that ministry, we wanted to share the lives of the saints with these kids, so we turned to your podcast for inspiration. Our first attempt was playing the episode on St. Maria Goretti. Dr. Paul, there were so many girls with tears that it was both beautiful and hard to watch them identify with the life of such a beloved saint. Sexual abuse is rampant throughout Jamaica, and I know that her life brought through your podcast reached out and touched the hearts of a group of girls who struggle to find hope in the darkness that surrounds their lives. So from myself, John, and the youth group, thanks for your podcast. It reaches many souls searching for the truth. May the Lord bless and protect your ministry, your family, and your work. Wow, isn't that incredible how a little podcast like this can make it to the mountains of Jamaica and St. Maria Goretti working her magic. Thanks all for listening. Thanks to Father Byron. Thanks to the Notre Dame Liturgical Choir. Some of the background music also from Curandero from Magnatune.com. We'll have links to all this on the show notes at saintcast.org. Coming up, an interview with a person who spent quite a bit of time with John Paul II as we preview the new book on John Paul II on the next SaintCast. Have you got what it takes to be a saint? Well, tune in to the next SaintCast and we'll let the saints show us the way. Good night, everybody.
SQPN, leading the way in Catholic new media.